The Godcast with Josh Fritz, episode 102, The Gospel of COVID-19. You heard it right, The Gospel of COVID-19. Yeah, welcome to the Godcast with Josh Fritz. Thank you for joining me. Appreciate you guys listening all the time. Love being a part of the whole thing here with you. As we get started here, I just want to thank you guys for listening. I'm recording this, I am not live, which is fine. There you see me, there I am, there's my soundboard. As we click out of that, that's an ad I'm going to show. All right. Why am I in Leviticus? Oh boy, why am I in Leviticus? Well, the name of this episode is The Gospel of COVID. The Gospel of COVID. Today I put up a post about, and I can't cue it up right now, but I put up a post. Maybe I'll use my phone. That would be easier. Put up a post, and basically it was this. If you can see it, you probably can't. You can't. Anyway, if I have time, I'll cue it up. It basically just says, vaccine or eternal salvation. Maybe that'll be the title. That might be the title of the episode. That or the gospel of COVID. You see, here's the thing with COVID-19. It's been over a year and what? Almost 5 months? Coming up on a year and a half of this? Just a complete failure in our government. And just because they want to spread their tentacles and control. And I've about had it up to way past here, you know. Obviously, you want to be sympathetic to people who think they're feeling that they're unsafe. I get that. I understand that. I had that idea, that mentality, for those several months in which we, in New York State, were masked up. And you couldn't go into the store. You had to wear a mask. Vaccine wasn't out at that time. And the vaccine's here. And now, those that are unvaccinated are, you know, they're encouraged to wear a mask and encouraged to, you know, do the things to keep their neighbors safe. And now, as of the last couple of days, the CDC, the Center for Disease Control, are now basically saying that even if you are vaccinated, you still should mask up because of the Delta variant. Now, I'm not providing my opinion on this, so I want YouTube to be sure. I am just reading through things that I hear and I read and understand. If you really want my opinion, email me. Josh@thegodcastwithjoshfritz.com. I'm just providing a perspective of which many do not like these vaccinations, these mandates that are now for federal workers. And who's next, you know? Is it going to be employers are going to be mandating this? Will my job mandate me or mandate my coworkers to get vaccinated? And, you know, those are things that we got to look into and consider. So I always want to say this, COVID-19, yes, I believe it's real. I don't believe it's fake. So if anybody thinks that way, please dispel that notion. I don't think it's fake. It's a real thing. Should people get vaccines? I leave that decision entirely up to them. And that's the crux of this episode. We're seeing a lot of bombardment in social media, in regular media, in all aspects of life. It's on your phone. It's on your computer. It's on the ticker that's in New York City, let's say. You know, it's everywhere. It's plastered in front of you, right? And I feel this whole pandemic, this whole thing has been a major distraction as to what it should be, what we should be talking about. I want to take you back, and this I have things I want to talk about tonight, but I don't know in what direction I'm going in. But being that I have this up here first, I have Leviticus 13 up, and these were laws that were passed during the time of Israel. You know, these were their laws that they passed. As I minimize my screen here. And this is what they did when people were sick with diseases that would spread if left unchecked. And I want to talk about that. So in Leviticus 13, you have laws that have been set up by Israel for them to follow. And this is what the Lord said. This the Lord gave these, the dietary laws, the laws between people. And this is more spelled out and specific. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, quote, when a person has on the skin of his body swelling or an eruption or a spot and turns into a case of leprous disease on the skin of the body, so something that could be spread, then he shall be brought to Aaron the priest or to one of his sons the priest, and the priest shall examine the diseased area on the skin of his body. And if the hair in the diseased area has turned white and the disease appears to be deeper than the skin of his body, it is a case of leprous disease. When the priest has examined him, he shall pronounce him unclean. But if the spot is white in the skin of his body and appears no deeper than the skin, and the hair in it has not turned white, the priest shall shut up the diseased person for 7 days. There's your quarantine right there. If the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if in his eyes the disease is checked and the disease has not spread into the skin, then the priest shall shut him up for another 7 days. Again, another quarantine. And the priest shall examine him on the seventh day, and if the diseased area is faded and the disease is not spread in the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him clean. It is only an eruption, and he shall wash his clothes and be clean. But if the eruption spreads in the skin, he has shown himself to the priest for his cleansing, he shall appear before the priest, appear again, and the priest shall look, and if the eruption has spread into the skin, then the priest shall pronounce him unclean. It is leprous disease. When a man is afflicted with leprous disease, he shall be brought to the priest, and the priest shall look. And if there is white swelling in the skin, it just gives every indicator as what to do. And it goes to every scenario regarding leprosy. So it just talks about every little thing, everything that spreads, any type of sickness that spreads. Every little thing. And you go through this chapter, it talks about that. But there, you know, there's examination. These are things that were done. And you wanted to keep the rest of the camp clean. You put the person outside of the camp until they became well. And, you know, these are laws that were followed. And there's nothing wrong with that. You know, these are, someone's sick, you want to stay away. You know, if someone's sick, then they need to quarantine. Let them quarantine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. Making the whole mass of people that are well and not sick quarantine, I have a problem with that. You know, that seems to be a little too much and a little too excessive. It's like it's the exact reverse of what, you know, God really had set up. He's the one who heals us, right? We also want to be wise. We want to be wise in what we do. These are temples that we live in. Believers, their bodies are the temple where the Holy Spirit resides. So, you know, there's some practical means from the Old Testament. There's nothing inescapable about that. It, you know, it's right there in front of us to read and to look at. So I just wanted to put that as a frame of reference for you, to put that into your mind. And I want to show you a couple of clips that I, you know, some are old, some are fairly recent. I want you to understand the mentality of what's going on. And we're going to use the CNN. You know, I know we all have opinions about CNN. I sure do. But here's, it's only a month ago, maybe almost 2 months ago, where a group of unvaccinated people in all walks of life, and this one's mainly a nurse that they're going to speak to first, is avoiding the vaccine. And this is just their video, and I want to play it so that you see what's going on.
President Biden's mission to have 70% of American adults with at least one shot of the vaccination by the 4th of July is facing some headwinds. As of today, 63% have received at least one dose. And if we stay on the current trajectory, the U.S. will fall about 6 million people short of that goal.
So we wanted to talk to some of the millions of people who remain hesitant or resistant to getting the vaccine to find out why. So as you're about to hear, they have many reasons. Here's your pulse of the people. Do any of you worry about getting COVID? No, you don't. Okay, so Jennifer, you're a really interesting place to start because you are a registered nurse. And so you, as I understand it, worked in a COVID unit. You saw the worst of the... I would think that you would want...
I wanted to point out that nobody out of these four people, three women and one man, none of them fear. None of them fear getting COVID. Vaccine, that's a different story.
To get the vaccine as soon as it's available, but I know that you have hesitance.
Basically, I just want some more research. We've been seeing a lot in the hospital, like just between, you know, the patients and the employees that I work with, we're seeing a lot of adverse reactions.
Of course, as I screened this clip before, it played fine. Now, as I try to play it, it doesn't play well.
Reactions after Pfizer, Moderna, and J&J. So it makes me a little leery because you don't know, you know, until you take it, if you're going to get one of those reactions or not.
Obviously, you know.
All right. Allison Camerota is going to, like, put her foot in her mouth here because she's going to say, obviously, you know what the whole thing is about. But then she tries to push back and say, oh, not that many people have the reactions to the vaccine. I just want you to listen to this. Just thought it was really weird, comical at the same time.
Because you're in the medical field, that they have researched these things, and millions of people have gotten them without...
I'm sorry, but that's a condescending... Millions and millions of people. It's really condescending. I know if you're listening, you're not able to see this, but... Basically, it's almost like a little condescension in making an assertion that she's making here. Just listen.
Adverse reactions.
They don't have the research to support it or deny it. I mean, you can't verify either way right now because there's not enough proper studies.
By the way, I would more closely align with this lady here. She's a nurse. She's not sure about the vaccines. Testing has been in between. I would kind of side with her, honestly.
And to really show it, and I think we need a few more years, at least a couple more years, to see any long-term effects.
Diana, I want to move on to you, and you have an autoimmune disease. So correct. tell me where your hesitancy lies now.
So I know from my past being treated for various illnesses, usually I have bad side effects from that intervention. And that, for me, that was my hesitancy, that I didn't want to exacerbate my Crohn's disease because I've been in remission for so many years.
Okay, quick, let's move on to you. Tell us your hesitancy about vaccines.
I hear history of just not being able to trust vaccines. I've never been a vaccine guy. A lot of us as black men and black and women in general, we've just been hesitant about doing things because we've always been felt felt like we're kind of always set up not to win.
And yet, at some point, you did come around and you got the first vaccine.
Yeah, so it's crazy because I'm a DJ, so I travel a lot for work. So my doctor and my wife, they were kind of, you know, pushing me towards getting the vaccine, and I really wasn't for it. The crazy part, so I eventually gave in and I got the first vaccine. 2 weeks after getting the vaccine, I contracted it, which really, really turned me off about getting the second one. And so I really didn't have any real symptoms. I had a fever. I didn't lose any sense of taste or smell or anything like that.
Okay, but the fact that you didn't have more severe symptoms, maybe you can thank the vaccine that you got.
Almost like a forced implying of thanks. Really? Like, who are we serving here? Are we serving God? Or are we serving the gods of COVID? I mean, just, it's like, who's in charge here? Who's their authority? It's almost like she's guilting the guy even after the fact that he got one of the vaccines, and she's guilting him into heaping praise about it. See, this is what I mean. This is what makes my hair, you know, split, and I can't stand it.
You sound like my doctor. He said the exact same thing, and like I said to him, maybe, but maybe not. Like, we don't know. And I think that the part that's frustrating, and someone else mentioned it, we just don't have enough data. Right now, we're all still guinea pigs.
So did you get your second shot?
No, I have not gotten my second shot. And I honestly, if your next question, am I planning on getting a second shot? Today, my answer is I don't know.
Janine, tell me about your hesitancy. What's it based on?
I had COVID in February, so I have natural immunity. There's no reason for me to get the vaccine. There's no reason for me to take.
I love this lady. She's got it right down pat. I already have immunity. And just the straight up comfort of her answer is amazing.
Take the vaccine doses from vulnerable people in this country or in other countries who need it more than I do.
You just don't know how long your natural immunity will last.
We don't know how long the immunity from the vaccine lasts. This is taking on a religious mentality, in my opinion.
Bingo. 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 There's your answer. I saw this clip a couple weeks ago, and I forgot that this lady's like, well, is unsure about the vaccines than the actual having COVID and having immunity. So she says it's taking on a religious mentality.
On the progressive liberal side of the spectrum.
Has this experience with COVID changed your politics?
Yes, it's changed my politics. Now I'll vote for anybody who cares about civil liberties and who doesn't allow the trampling of our rights that we've seen over the past year.
Jennifer, I see you applauding.
Bingo.
So tell me your thoughts.
I'm loving hearing her talk right now. Everything she says, I basically agree with.
There you go.
I was really applauding the young lady who said something about just taking away our First Amendment rights. Not only am I a DJ, I am a club owner. So what this did to businesses, a lot of businesses will never recover. I know the government tried to do certain PPP, but all the big major billion-dollar and Fortune 500 companies, they got all the big grants. A lot of our small businesses, especially black-owned businesses, we were left with crumbs, and you get what you can get, and now you got to pay it back. I mean, it just, all of this has become so unfair and so political, and I think that's why there's this distrust, because we see that people are doing things now not for health reasons but for business reasons.
Yep.
And last, Jennifer, your boss says that everybody needs to get the vaccine by June 7th or lose their job. Are you willing to lose your job as a result of not getting it?
Absolutely. I've actually had multiple companies reach out to want to hire me now because they respect the fact of what an advocate I'm being. And I'm totally prepared to lose my job.
She's willing to lose her job for something she believes in. I respect that more than someone who does something just because the world says it's the right thing to do.
That's what the world's looking for. They want to see the real deal. They want to see what the real deal is. I commend these people. They're wanting to make a stand and a claim. And this is what you have. You have the You have the religion of COVID. That's really what you have here. I'm just going to get rid of this. Now, here's my next video clip that I haven't seen, but the title got me going. The title of this video is Why the Unvaccinated Live in an Alternate Universe. Well, this was a couple of days ago. Actually, this was today. Today is July 29th, 2021, if you didn't know. So this is today. I actually want to listen to this because the title got me. If I can get my cursor back up there. Okay.
You know, I've been trying to write a vaccination theme song for a while. You know, get people to actually get the shot. But not many words rhyme with vaccinate. Maybe perpetuate? The struggle to vaccinate enough Americans against the coronavirus in order to achieve herd immunity has produced frustration, anger, and a whole lot of people doing things directly against their best interests when it comes to their health. Maybe the most upside down, almost hurt my neck, bit of reality that's emerged from the politicization of what should be a public health issue, thanks Donald Trump, is this. The people at the most risk of being infected with the Delta variant of the virus are the least concerned about getting it. A July CBS News YouGov poll paints a stark picture of this remarkable disconnect. Asked whether they were concerned about the Delta variant, the dominant strain of COVID-19 in the United States, and the one that has led to a major surge in cases, almost 3 in 4 vaccinated people, 72%, said they were worried about it. Less than half, 48% of unvaccinated people said the same, which is, and this is a technical science term, bonkers, because, well, science. Quote, we're seeing 99.5% of deaths right now from COVID-19 in our country are happening among the unvaccinated. U.S. Surgeon General Dr. Vivek Murthy told CNN's Dana Bash on State of the Union in mid-July. And in case you missed it, 99.5% of people who are dying from the coronavirus right now are not vaccinated, which means, because, again, math, that less than 1% of all COVID-19 deaths right now are among vaccinated people. And that's not a fluke or an anomaly either. In June, 99.2% of the people who died from COVID-19 were unvaccinated, according to none other than Dr. Anthony Fauci. 99.2%! To understand just how much of the politics of the virus has infected our country, let's take those numbers out of the coronavirus context. Let's just say there was a pill developed and approved by the Food and Drug Administration, which guaranteed that you would live 5 healthy years longer than you would without taking said pill. You would take the pill 100% of the time, right? Because who wouldn't want to spend more time with family and friends, right? Right, 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 right. And yet, in the case of the COVID-19 vaccine, which has success rates of upwards of at least 86% in terms of preventing serious infection and hospitalization, not to mention death, we are still having this dumb debate in some parts of America as to whether or not people should get the shot. It's not even a theoretical debate. States with the lowest number of their citizens vaccinated are having some of the largest outbreaks from the Delta variant. In Arkansas, just 36% of the population is vaccinated and cases are soaring. Ditto Missouri, with just 41% of its population vaccinated. And Louisiana, where just 37% of people are vaccinated. Get the trend? Now, why is this? Well, it's because Donald Trump turned COVID-19 from a public health issue into a political one to try to win re-election. Remember these two maps? The first is the one you just saw on vaccination rates by state. And then there's this one, which is the 2020 election results. Notice anything? Yeah, the states Trump won are consistently less vaccinated.
All right, so what I'm getting from this is that Trump's to blame for people not getting a vaccine. That's what I'm gathering from this. The maps look the same. The people that are not getting vaccinated are the ones that voted for Trump. Blah, 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 blah. So the very thing that he's claiming that it isn't political, he turns it political. Listen, if nobody wants to get vaccinated, they shouldn't be forced to. Case closed, end of story. If you don't want to get vaccinated, you shouldn't be forced to. If you do want to get vaccinated, go on right ahead. It's really that simple. It really is. It's that simple. But not for the religion of COVID.
Then the ones Joe Biden won. Which should not be the case. Because you could be the most conservative Republican or the most liberal Democrat, and these two facts are still true. Fact one, the Delta variant is on the march throughout the United States, targeting primarily the unvaccinated.
You're gonna get sick. the Delta variant is out there. Okay. So is the flu. So is cancer. So is heart disease. So is this. So is that. You can't, with the numbers that have been provided, you can't make a claim for this. It's a hard sell is what it is.
Fact two, the vaccine lessens the symptoms if you do happen to get the Delta variant and drastically reduces your chances of dying from the virus. The idea that less than half of unvaccinated Americans say they are concerned about the virus seeks to ignore those two indisputable facts, not to mention science, also epidemiology. As Fauci said in late July, quote, 99.5%.
Their Lord and Savior, Dr. Anthony Fauci. of the deaths in the United States are among unvaccinated people, and 0.5% are among vaccinated people. Boy, if there ever was a statistic that would stimulate someone to get vaccinated, I think this one is it. Leads me to my next thing, which we'll get back to Dr. Fauci in a little bit.
0.5% of the deaths in the United States are among unvaccinated people, and 0.5% are among vaccinated people. Boy, if there ever was a statistic that would stimulate someone to get vaccinated, I think this one is it. End quote. Yeah, good call, Fauci. Put simply, unvaccinated people are, whether they're worried about it or not, at significantly greater risk from the Delta variant. If or when they get the virus, whether they were worried about it won't play any factor at all in how and if they recover. And the virus won't care one bit whether they are a Republican or a Democrat, or even who they voted for in the 2020 election. And that is the point. We make new point episodes every Tuesday and Thursday. I hope you check them all out.
Science, false god. Again, are there benefits to science and learning things? Sure. I just think this imposing and making people think one way, very uniform. It's the way the world's moving. Just saying. Leads me to my next point. Actually, now that I'm here, give me 1 second. I am going to put up something for you to watch. If you are familiar with the Bible Thumping Wingnut Network, this podcast is always going to be on the Bible Thumping Wingnut Network. I'm looking to do more episodes, but in the fall, in November, we will be having a Builder Summit, and I want to play you this clip that I grabbed from the Bible Thumping Wingnut himself, Tim Hurd. I'm sure he doesn't mind me doing this. So let me play this clip. For those of you that are interested, there are spots available. You can register. Registration is open. Let me play this for you, and I'll be right back.
And also, please go and click on the Builder Summit. When you click on the Builder Summit, it'll take you to this website. That's the one event I run a year. It's coming up at November 12, 13, and 14. Registration opened today. $130. Two nights lodging, six meals, the whole conference and everything. And you can click on speakers. You can click on what to bring and all that. Speakers, our two main speakers this year are both graduates of the Master's Seminary, John MacArthur Grace Community Church's ministry there, their seminary. Tremendous men of God. I'll be there. I hope you will be there as well. Registration is limited, so please take advantage of that. Check that.
Okay, so that's from the Bible Thumping Wingnut guy. I just wanted to share that with you if you're interested in that. Now we'll get back to what I wanted to talk about. We talked about that. Get out of there. We talked about that. Okay. Now, I know we saw this clip. Dr. Anthony Fauci and Senator Rand Paul have been going at it back and forth at these hearings. And notice how Dr. Fauci gets very defensive. And I want to play that clip for you. We'll go through this one.
Dr. Fauci, as you are aware, it is a crime to lie to Congress. Section 1001 of the U.S. Criminal Code creates a felony and a 5-year penalty for lying to Congress. On your last trip to our committee on May 11th, you stated that the NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute of Virology. And yet, gain-of-function research was done entirely in the Wuhan Institute by Dr. Xi and was funded by the NIH. I'd like to ask unanimous consent to insert into the record the Wuhan virology paper entitled Discovery of a Rich Gene Pool of Bat SARS-Related Coronaviruses. Please deliver a copy of the journal article to Dr. Fauci. In this paper, Dr. Xi credits the NIH and lists the actual number of the grant that she was given by the NIH. In this paper, she took 2 bat coronavirus genes, spike genes, and combined them with a SARS-related backbone to create new viruses that are not found in nature. These lab-created viruses were then shown to replicate in humans. These experiments combined genetic information from different coronaviruses that infect animals but not humans to create novel artificial viruses able to infect human cells. Viruses that in nature only infect animals were manipulated in the Wuhan lab to gain the function of infecting humans. This research fits the definition of the research that the NIH said was subject to the pause in 2014 to 2017, a pause in funding on gain of function. But the NIH failed to recognize this, defines it away, and it never came under any scrutiny. Dr. Richard E. Bright, a molecular biologist from Rutgers, described this research in Wuhan as, "The Wuhan lab used NIH funding to construct novel chimeric SARS-related coronaviruses able to infect human cells and laboratory animals. This is high-risk research that creates new potential pandemic pathogens that exist only in the lab."
You see, what Senator Rand Paul is doing, he's putting a finger on the problem. He's finding the source, and he's calling it Dr. Fauci to account. This is what you don't do to the COVID religion's Lord and Savior, Dr. Anthony Fauci.
"Not in nature. This research matches," these are Dr. Ebright's words, "this research matches, indeed epitomizes, the definition of gain-of-function research done entirely in Wuhan, for which there was supposed to be a federal pause." Dr. Fauci, knowing that it is a crime to lie to Congress, do you wish to retract your statement of May 11th where you claimed that the NIH never funded gain-of-function research in Wuhan?
That is a pointed question, and watch what happens to Dr. Anthony Fauci. You see, if I'm Dr. Anthony Fauci, if that's me and I said that back on May 11th, you know, what was recorded, I would stand by my statement, whatever it is, if I knew it to be true, and I wouldn't engage in a self-defense such as he does here in getting emotional and angry about it. There's got to be a way to hold yourself, and the guilt, or the, not say the guilt, but the, he's showing himself in terms of how he's reacting to Senator Paul.
"Senator Paul, I have never lied before the Congress, and I do not retract that statement. This paper that you are referring to was judged by qualified staff up and down the chain as not being gain of function."
All right, so he starts out of the gate, fine. Okay, he just states the fact, according to him, very simply, right? He starts off pretty good.
Let me finish.
You take an animal virus and...
Immediately he says, "Let me finish."
"You increase its transmissibility to humans."
Right.
"You're saying that's not gain of function?"
Yeah, that is correct. And Senator Paul, you do not know what you are talking about.
There's that condescension again. As you saw in the clips before with the women and with the TV host, that condescending attitude, this is just straight up anger. "You don't know what you're talking about." Again, this is the religion of COVID.
"Quite frankly, and I want to say that officially,
he came into this hearing, he knew Rand Paul, Senator Paul, was going to come out swinging, really. And he, what is he going to do? He's going to come out and say, I wanted to make that official.
Do not know what you are talking about. Let's okay, you get NIH, one person.
Let's read from the NIH definition of gain of function. This is your definition that you guys wrote. It says that scientific research that increases the transmissibility among mammals is gain of function. They took animal viruses that only occur in animals, and they increased their transmissibility to humans. How you can say that is not...
Look at the staff behind Senator Rand Paul. Look at this gentleman. He's just like, yeah, I'm having a great day. This lady's just not doing anything. Either they agree or disagree. It's just interesting how the way they hold themselves, their composure behind them.
Not gain of function.
It is not.
It's a dance, and you're dancing around this because you're trying to obscure responsibility for 4 million people dying around the world from a pandemic.
And let's send Dr. Fauci.
I have to. Well, now you're getting into something. If the point that you are making is that the grant that was funded as a subaward from EcoHealth to Wuhan created SARS-CoV-2, that's where you are getting. Let me finish.
We don't know.
Well,
we don't
wait
know
a minute.
If it did come from the lab, but all the evidence is pointing that it came from the lab, and there will be responsibility for those who funded the lab, including yourself. I totally
resent the lie that you are now propagating, Senator, because if you look at the viruses that were used in the experiments that were given in the annual reports that were published in the literature, it is molecularly impossible.
No one's saying those viruses caused it.
It is molecularly.
Those viruses caused the pandemic. What we're alleging is that gain of function research was going on in that lab and NIH funded it.
That is not.
You can't get away from it. It meets your definition and you are obfuscating the truth.
I'm not obfuscating the truth. You are the one.
Senator Paul's time is expired, but I will allow the witness to.
Let me just finish. I want everyone to understand that if you look at those viruses, and that's judged by qualified virologists and evolutionary biologists, those viruses are molecularly impossible to result in SARS-CoV-2.
We're saying they are gain-of-function viruses because they were animal viruses that became more transmissible.
Look at this! Look at this guy back here. He's just nodding his head. Look at his eyebrow.
Paul, your time has expired.
Oh man!
Witnesses who come before this committee to respond.
And you are implying that what we did was responsible for the deaths of individuals. I totally resent that. And if anybody is lying here, Senator, it is you.
And like a boss, he finishes his water. This guy with the facial reactions is pretty funny. But no, it amazes me how Dr. Fauci has been put on this pedestal and he gets called to account for it and he gets very self-defensive. Again, we don't know initially where it really started. Wuhan lab, China's not really reliable, but if that funding went to that, for that to go on, could it been a possibility that this has been leaked out? Of course, no, it can't be ruled out. So I just thought that exchange between those two, it always got testy between those two. I wanted to show that to you because, again, the religion of COVID has its moments here in which you see the defensiveness, you see the bombardment through the media. I've known some employers that I've heard about, friends of mine that have had their employers said, are you getting vaccinated yet? Are you getting vaccinated yet? And all those things are, you know, it becomes a religion of sorts to make you conform to their ways. Now, let's contrast that. And I want to share with you, this will be the last thing I talk about tonight. I want you to get your Bible, if you're listening. Go to Luke chapter 12. And I'm going to read you this section of scripture here because it tells us exactly where our mind should be at. Where is your mind? And, of course, I'm going to always bring it back to the gospel, the good news. You need to understand this bad news. You are a sinner. If you are outside of Jesus Christ tonight, you need Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Now, why would I say that? Why? Well, eternity awaits. And this is what the reason of my post on Facebook, I put eternal salvation or the vaccine? Well, I have something better than a vaccine for you. You can have your sins forgiven, trust in Jesus Christ, repent, turn away from your sin, and you'll be delivered from sin, right? You'll be blessed in that area, but knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross, our sins are not held against us anymore. We're given eternal life in Jesus Christ. There's joy, there's deliverance, there's a new life. It's a spiritual understanding of the gospel of the scripture, the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's good news. We know Jesus Christ lived a life on this earth perfect in every way. He died, was buried, rose from the dead, appeared to his disciples, gave them the great commission to go and tell the world about this good news. And this is good news because you can have your eternity solved. You can have your eternal destination can be solved, can be known. And this is the reason why this program exists, because I want to share that good news with you. Now, obviously, you're going to say, you're telling me something that hasn't happened yet, eternity. And you're saying it's available through Jesus Christ to have your sins forgiven. Yes. Why would it be about you and your life and your sin and Jesus Christ taking upon your sin on himself? Why would it be about that? There's got to be a way. We at one point in the beginning had great fellowship. Adam and Eve had great fellowship with God. God made a perfect world. He made a perfect universe. Everything was set in order. It's all been in disarray. It's the reason why we have diseases. the sin came into the world, and we have all these diseases. We have man who's evil. Every inclination of his heart is to do evil. And that has to be solved. All sin must be punished. And for those that believe in Jesus Christ, all of their sin, if you are a believer tonight, your sin was placed on Christ. And his righteousness, his perfection, his holiness was placed on you. A great transaction. Justification. Declared righteous. All of these blessings that are in Jesus Christ. Chosen before the foundation of the earth. What does Jesus say here in Luke chapter 12? He says, in the meantime, with so many thousands of people had gathered that they were trampling one another, he began to say to his disciples, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Nothing is covered up that will not be revealed, or hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have said in the dark shall be heard in the light, and whatever you have whispered in private rooms shall be proclaimed on the housetops. I love that verse. This is what I want to share with you. As my printer in the background goes off, just bear with me. I lost my mouse there. Okay. Have no fear. I tell you, my friends, do not fear those who kill the body. And this is the main verse here in this section. And after that, have nothing more that they can do. But I will warn you whom to fear. Fear him, that's God, who after he has killed has authority to cast into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 pennies, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Why, even the hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not. You are of more value than many sparrows. See, this is important. Don't fear those that kill the body. Don't fear them. Don't have fear over these diseases that you have. Don't have fear over these people trying to impose their will on you to say, get the vaccine. If you feel like you don't have it, you don't want to have it, you don't need it, you don't have to get it. What's more important is your soul. And that's leading me more into this chapter talks about somebody like that. So, verse 8, and I tell you, everyone who acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But the one who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven. But the one who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. And it's mainly speaking about the Pharisees and the teachers of the law in that verse there. And when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and the authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say. For the Holy Spirit will teach you in that very hour what you ought to say. So very, very wise applications here in Luke chapter 12 for the Christian. And here's the story I wanted to read to you. Someone in the crowd said to him, Teacher, my brother Tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. But he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or arbiter over you? And he said to them, Take care and be on your guard against all covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions. What's going on today, right? People are getting rich, people are getting poor, exploitation's taking place. Don't be covetous, don't be jealous. Our life doesn't consist in the abundance of possessions. And he told them a parable, saying, The land of a rich man produced plentifully. And he thought to himself, What shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I will do this. I will tear down my barns and build larger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. See, it's very temporal. Temporal living, temporal thinking, everything is all temporal. Very important that you understand that, because it's getting to the next section here. And he said, I will do this. I'll tear down my barns, build larger ones. I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, Fool, this night your soul is required of you, and the things you have prepared, whose will they be? So it is the one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. You see, the way this world works is about the temporal, is about things that are happening right now, things that you want to have. You want to grab and hold things, tangible things that you want to be a part of, right? God's after, and what he wants to talk about in his word is the soul of man. Let shall a man gain the whole world if he loses his own soul? So what does God say here? He said to his disciples, Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, nor about your body, what you will put on, for life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, they neither sow nor reap. They have neither storehouse nor barn, and yet God feeds them. Of how much more value then are you than the birds? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? If then you are not able to do a small thing as that, why are you anxious about the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass, which is alive in the field today, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you are to eat and what you are to drink, nor to be worried. For all the nations of the world seek after these things, and you, your Father, knows that you need them. Instead, seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourselves with money bags that do not grow old, with a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I mean, Jesus gives his disciples an eternal perspective on all these things. And this is what I wanted to share with you tonight. Life's not about this vaccine. Your physical life, sure. If you think it's going to protect you, great, fine. It has its place. It should not be imposed on people. It should not be made so much that you're going to harbor or harm, rather, the freedoms of people. If people want to go their merry way and don't want a vaccine, leave them alone. You know, we have in this country of what I grew up with, you're an individual person. You can believe what you want to believe. The atheist, although they really don't exist, can be an atheist. The Christian can be a Christian, right? The Muslim, although, you know, going the wrong way, obviously, we know the one way is through Jesus Christ. A Muslim can be a Muslim. No one's going to stop them from being who they are. The problem is the fact that when someone is preaching, you have the right to turn them off. You even have the right to click out of this video right now and not listen to a word I say. That's the point. That is the very point I'm trying to make. And we're slowly, if not on the fast course, to losing those capabilities. And this is what, you know, more and more and more, as this goes forward, and this, what I see as a religion is of COVID, you have evolution with that, you have all of these things that just naturalism, humanism, progressivism, they all mold up into one. And you're going to get to that one day, eschatologically speaking, a one-world government and a one-world religion. And they're going to be married together. And we're moving that way. We're moving in that direction as a country. We're moving that direction as a world. And more and more so. But there's good news. Jesus Christ is coming back. And when he comes, it'll change everything. So with that, hopefully this video has either been entertaining or it's been edifying. I hope it's been edifying. And again, if you are familiar with me, you can like, subscribe, share the video, do what you got to do. You can go see me on the BibleThumpingWingnut.com. My podcast is there. This is the Godcast with Josh Fritz. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, comment below. Send me an email, josh@thegodcastwithjoshfritz. Looking forward to very soon getting somebody on this podcast. So I know I've been promising and promising. I want to deliver on that. So hopefully the people that I've asked will hop on with me. With that, you have a good night. This will be airing tomorrow, I'm sure. Have a great weekend. God bless. We'll see you here next time on the Godcast. Hey, for those of you who just listened to that episode, thank you for listening. You've made it this far on the BibleThumpingWingnut.com. Now, this is the best part of this podcast. Usually at the end, I play some music, and that's what I'm about to do. Here's Shane and Shane.
As the deep pants for the water, so my soul pants for you. All my tears have been my father. Day and night, my only food. Oh, my soul, you feel forgotten. Put your hope in Christ alone. And as the deer longs for the water, so my soul longs to be home. Come now, fount of living water, tune my heart to bless your name. Streams of songs of loudest praise, as the deep cries out for answers, as your waves crash over me, let your goodness like a feather bind my broken heart to thee. Oh, in the night, your song is with me, and day by day, you hold me fast. Oh, my soul, hold. You shall praise your God at last. Come now, fount of living water, tune my heart to bless your name. Streams of songs of loudest praise, breakers crash and bring me falling to my knees. It goes on and on and on. Where is my God? My salvation is in you and you alone. Deep calls to deep, waves of unbelief.
Loudest praise.